Everyone's gearing up for a Thursday night game one down at Scotiabank. Leafs Habs, you can hear it again right here on TSN Radio. And here's the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe. How you doing, Sheldon?
I'm doing good, but there better not be any sound issues or I'm out.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll hang up on you. Brian Hayes will hang up on you.
Yeah, we don't accept that around here. How dare you? How dare you not have five bars and 5G as you call in here? But we were talking about, you know, the layoff for you guys, and I guess the same thing applies with Edmonton and Winnipeg. Obviously, you're preparing for Thursday night, preparing for the series, but with all this other playoff action going on, do you find yourself caught up in that? Are you watching the other games?
I have been, yeah. It's been, like you said, it's a combination of having the extra time between us getting started here and the end of our regular season, but also just the nature of the games have kind of get you caught up. I've been, had my head buried in the computer lots, but found myself looking up quite a bit because the games have been great and close and lots of emotion, of course, and seeing fans back in the building. There's been lots of reasons to tune in.
Sheldon, that's where we were talking about before you came on is, you know, you're paying attention to the other series and you just mentioned the emotion. Every series has its own path. Obviously, the emotion is going to be a lot higher because it's the playoffs. But how about the physicality of it? Is it something that you're going to have to talk with the guys and say, hey, you know, do what you do best? Or is it just going to come, I guess, naturally for your group, the emotion raised, the physicality raised just because it's the playoffs?
I would say both, Jamie. I think it's going to come naturally, like you say. I mean, you know, playoff hockey is about, and players themselves feel that. They know what's at stake and respond to the moment. Increased physicality is something that we've talked about really right from the beginning of training camp. And I've referenced some of our previous experiences and where we've fallen short there. And, you know, partially with some of the changes we've made to our personnel, but also just the mindset of our team. We've wanted to show signs of growth in that area. I think we have. I have no doubts about our ability to not only play through that and handle it, but also initiate it and be on the attack ourselves.
Well, there's been a lot of chatter about how the Habs may approach the series, and based on their lineup, they're taking a lot of kids out of the lineup. They're going with veterans. They're going with bigger bodies. I know you spoke on it a bit this morning, but how do you balance trying to have a read on what they're going to bring and countering what the Habs are going to bring, but also keep in mind who you are and what makes you the team that you are?
Well, I think it's, there's part of what you're saying is our team and how we're going to play, but there's also, you know, individuals. There's guys on our team that we don't want, overly engaged in anything like that. They've got to play their game, got to make plays, got to find ways to produce offense and play through the physicality. We got other guys that we need to, need to bring that level of physicality themselves. And probably most importantly, we just got to make sure we're physical on the puck. And that means, you know, winning pucks back and winning battles, establishing body positioning. And then when we have the puck, bringing it to tough areas and be willing to, you know, go to the difficult spots. You know, you're going to trust that the officials are going to do their job and call the game. And then I think, you know, you look at least some of the series, there's been, you know, a number of penalties that have been called and things like that. So we'll have to adjust to those sort of things. But I don't have any doubts in our team's ability to respond. Like I say, it's a team mindset for sure, but it's also, you know, the individuals kind of know who they are and what they bring. And that's part of the reason why we've added the experience that we have. Those guys know exactly who they are and what they need to do out there.
This weight must be awful. I would hate it myself, but you've got this storied rivalry, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. What are you looking forward to the most? Is it just the bus pulling up or walking to the rink, the warm-up, drop of the puck? What is the one thing that you're really looking forward to?
I'd say it definitely has to be the drop of the puck, Jeff. I mean, like you said, it's been the weight's been a little bit grueling here. I thought going into it that it would be, you know, it would be okay, just given, you know, time to rest and proper practice time and all of that. But we just had two practice days, and then we gave the players a day off here today. And today feels like we're, you know, starting to drag on a little bit here. But fortunately, we've got a chance to ramp it back up with practice tomorrow. And then I know certainly the guys are going to be excited to get playing here, because it has been a long wait for sure. And for the challenge of the coaching staff to not to overdo it in terms of information and things like that. We just got to be really ready. Most importantly, just be ourselves and play our game.
Chatting with Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs, Leafs Habs, Thursday night game one. You can hear right here on TSN Radio. Jack Campbell will get the start, and he's had a spectacular year. But obviously, Freddie Anderson, you know, he's a part of the team. He'll back up, and he's a guy who's established himself in this market and with this team for quite some time. So with Campbell going, what was your message to Freddie Anderson?
Well, you know what, I think. First of all, I think Fred was just, you know, had great self-awareness in terms of his situation, his circumstances. He hasn't played, and in his absence, you know, Jack has played extremely well, and the team has played well. So he's understanding of that. He wants to play. He's a competitor and has confidence in his ability to help our team, and we have confidence in him. So he's just, you know, he knows he's got to keep working and keep staying ready. He's been working extremely hard in practice. I will say his attitude and his work ethic and just his whole approach since he's gotten back in the nets and back on skates coming through his injury and working his way back has been tremendous. And that's been really great to see. So we have no doubts there that he's going to be, you know, provide great support for Jack. And of course, we don't know what playoffs bring in terms of the twists and turns and ups and downs and all of that. He'll be ready if called upon, but we've got great confidence in Jack, and having he's been playing, I know he's excited to get going here.
Sheldon, you've got some, I guess it's positive, but you've got some decisions to make regarding your roster because you've got health, and you know some guys will be in, some guys will be out. Can you speak to a guy like Riley Nash, who hasn't, you know, played a game with the guys in the regular season, but it seems like you've got him penciled in at a pretty good spot. Just the trust that you have in him, what he brings to, you know, your roster, and where you, what you'd like to see out of him.
Yeah, you know what, it's of course strange circumstances in a strange season, you know, short amount of time from the trade deadline to the playoffs, and we acquire an injured player, and you knew there was a risk that he wouldn't potentially play at all in the regular season. But you mentioned it early on there in your question about depth, and we just felt that was a really important thing to have for ourselves, and Riley's played this type of a role in the playoffs before and found success. So we trust that he's going to be able to bring that to us as well. Of course, we haven't seen it in our team dynamic or anything like that, but again, when you acquire these experienced players and you've watched them around our team and you've watched them in our practices and you have conversations with him, he gives you confidence that he's going to be able to deliver on what he does, and that's being a very responsible defensive player that you can trust when he's on the ice. He's going to take care of the game and take care of the puck. He's going to help his line mates. He's going to be able to kill penalties and help on face-offs and do all these kind of things that really help us become a complete team and gives us a different dimension. Again, just the additional depth and having another player that can help us. So I like it. Of course, it's not ideal that we haven't seen him in a game and hasn't had that experience, but we've found great value in the practices and the meetings that we've had. So we'll roll with it. And, despite that, we still have confidence in, you know, our depth, whether it's Alex Galchenyuk or Pierre Engvall, or even Adam Brooks has come in on the fourth line and played tremendously for us. So we feel really good about that, particularly when they compare it to what we went through last season.
With Sheldon Keefe, and Riley Nash is on a line with Mikheyev and Kerfoot at practice, and you've been seeking out that conventional third line checking line really since day one of camp. You've referenced it. You even started the year with Hyman on that line. Why have you been seeking it as diligently as you have been, and why is it so important to establish a line that you can maybe bury in the defensive zone come playoff time?
Well, I think, Brian, the biggest thing that to me as a coach on the bench is that you just go through different things in a game, and face-offs is a big one that, you know, the face-offs in your end, usually the other team's best players or close to the best players or the best offensive people are going to be coming over the boards. And, you know, you have to make a decision who you're going to put out there. And I just find a lot of times, I default to Austin or John, to go out and take on those responsibilities. And that's a lot. I mean, these guys take on a lot of responsibility all over the ice, and they're great players and they're capable of doing that. But, sometimes you look down the bench for a very important faceoff and an important time in a key matchup, and those guys are tired. They've just come off the ice, and you need another line that you put out in that spot and you feel confident as a coach, and it helps the team run, and you're not overdoing it with other guys. So that has been an important thing for me. It still very much is. Obviously, that's part of our vision here in putting this line together. But we have lots of different options now with the way that our team is set up. The guys in the lineup, guys out of the lineup. You got Hyman and Foligno playing, along with Austin and Mitch, and then Foligno with John and Will. We've got players that can be moved around and play in different spots, and it just makes me feel a lot more comfortable as a coach that I can manage the bench appropriately as the intensity ramps up and the fatigue starts to set in during games.
Sheldon, I have an idea, and you tell me if it's stupid, okay? I have zero desire to ever play hockey again. But the only time I do is when I see like a pump-up part of a Rocky movie. Why not fire that up for the boys on a TV screen before you hit the ice?
So, I mean, Jeff, you played long enough. Surely you've had this experience. Yeah. I think that's just generally in the coach's playbook, I think. From every team I've dealt with. But, yeah, our team at MLSC does a terrific job of putting different things together and maybe not so much Rocky specific, but our own versions.
You had me worried there. I thought you were hanging up on me.
Yeah.
No.
Probably worthy.
No, not a totally foolish idea. I think there's some merit to that. I'll tell you why. You know what? Especially here, I mean, usually coaches are firing all sorts of information and video on their opponents and stuff like that over the course of time leading up to a series. And by the time that you get ready to drop the puck, the last thing you want to hear about is your opponent or anything that the coach wants from you. You just put something on and crank the tunes and get at it. And I think we're certainly approaching that point right now.
I thought he was going to offer up his services for the power play. That's where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
Like you'd set up the one timer on the wall, because that's obviously been a big topic of discussion. I mean, you've probably been watching a lot of tape, and you guys have been really working on it in practice. And we're trying to get a read on it. On the outside looking in, you guys have so much talent. The first 20 games of the year, you guys were on like a historical pace. And in the last 20-25, the bottom fell out. What is your theory on this, Sheldon? Like, why has the power play not been able to click for really quite some time?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, obviously, if the answers were easy, we would have already seen that
right.
Growth. But as we've gone through this, of course, it's been the top of our priority list to go through. I think we've gone through lots of different phases of what's happened here. Like, it started with, we had some pretty set units and we were rolling pretty good, and then started with injuries to Simmons and Thornton, and then you had Austin and his wrist situation, and he was playing, seemed like a different spot every game, and even when we had him in his regular spot, he wasn't willing or able to shoot the puck. And then the schedule and practice and all these kind of things become challenges, and the bottom's falling out, it gets away on you, and that's kind of where we've been at. But we certainly, as a coaching staff, got to do a better job of that. We're well aware of it. I think we've seen some signs of life in the last couple weeks in terms of how we're moving the puck, and we're spending a lot more time in the offensive zone. I think it's just a matter of time. We've used the unit of John with Austin and Will and Mitch playing together. I think you'll still see that, and we're going to continue to have that as an option for us. We're going to, look also to have the two balanced unit approach and maximize our time to the full 2 minutes and those kind of things. But certainly we're aware of it. being an area of significance coming into the playoffs, and not just that, but our penalty kill, which we think has been quite strong and one of the best in the league to finish out the season in the last 10 games. We want to continue to build on that, and the additions that we've made through Foligno and Nash, I think, will help. But certainly the power play has got to be rolling. We've got to put it all together, you know, from special teams, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5 play, goaltending. You got to be firing in all those areas if you want to be serious in the playoffs.
With Sheldon Keefe, game one Thursday night, speaking with you last offseason a couple of different times, having Kyle on a couple of different times, the conversation kept coming back to the core players. And generally the conversation was being derived from what Tampa did a year ago and Braden Point and Kucherov, and we saw them a couple of nights show up and do what they did. You guys have, you know, a core of players here who've had spectacular years, Austin and Mitch in particular. John really had a great second half. Nylander had a quality second half. Those are your horses. Obviously, you have a ton of confidence in them, but why do you believe, and I'm sure you do, this is the year where it's all going to connect and they are capable of driving you guys to a place you really want to get to?
Well, I think all we can do is go off of what they've delivered to this point. I mean, you know, we've seen it right from day one of training camp, and I guess I could take it even further from just how they came out of that Columbus series and, you know, the disappointment that they felt and the fact that they themselves individually and us as a team collectively didn't want to be disappointed again, and we were going to put in the necessary work and have the necessary conversations to make growth in the areas we needed to. I think we've done that from day one of camp, and I think those guys that you're referring to, those leaders, have led the way for us, both in their production and their attitude, and they've gotten tremendous support underneath them. And I think that's probably the biggest area here, is those guys feel really, really, truly supported, both in on the ice and in the room, that we've got a real great foundation of unity, I guess, is the biggest thing, that they're, you know, they have support. They go out there and do their thing. They know they have to lead the way for us, but everybody has a role to play. And I think we just really have a cohesive group, more so certainly than we did when we were going at this thing a year ago.
Well, we'll get you out of here with the historical question. You were not alive the last time the Leafs and Habs played in the playoffs, but you're a greater Toronto area guy. You grew up in the city. Obviously, you coached the team, and obviously this is very personal for you, and you want to get to the games and you want to win the games. But do you think you'll allow yourself at all to kind of take a step back as a Toronto guy and now the head coach of the Leafs to take in the history? And how significant is it that you're going to play a primary role and a pivotal role in the first playoff series between these two teams in over 40 years?
Yeah, it's not lost on me. I mean, I recognize the significance of it, despite, as you say, not being alive for it. I've dealt with many Leafs and Hab fans, over the years. I think it's obviously been way too long since these two teams have met up. As a result, you've probably got a generation of people there that don't necessarily recognize the significance of it. And I think a lot of that would probably include a number of the players playing in the series. But I think, especially with the lead up coming up to this and the Canadian division, the nature of that, you know, you can feel it coming back. Whether it's the rivalry or whether it's the fact that our team's got to push through this hurdle, you know, of winning a playoff series, you know, lots of reasons for motivation and lots of great responsibility that I feel as the coach and leader of the team. And I think our players recognize that as well and just ready to drop the puck and get going.
It's going to be a fun one Thursday night. It should be a fun ride. Best of luck moving forward. We always appreciate you taking time for us. Good luck, and thank you for doing this, Sheldon.
You got it. Be well, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs.
That's a
replay. He almost hung up on you. He almost hung up on that. I mean, it was a good question. I wanted to follow up on it because...
The Rocky question was no good?
Yeah, it was very good, but I was laughing because I thought you were going to talk about one-timer on the power play, too.
That's what I thought he was doing. I really did. I'm like, he's going to offer up a one-timer on the power play.
But the other thing is, too, you got to choose the right song. I had a coach one time play the Garth Brooks Standing Outside the Fire. And we were going out to that, and we just got rinsed. I think we gave up five in the first period. Like, it was like, what the hell was that? He's like,
there's
guys,
nothing,
you know, like,
worse when a guy gets emotional and tries to just lay it all out there. And you go out there and get absolutely crushed.
Oh my God, our ass handed to us. But like, he had this emotional speech, and then he's like, hit it. He says to the assistant coach, and it's like, standing outside the fire. And like, we're all just like, okay, let's go out here and see what happens. And we came in after the first, and I remember somebody going, what the hell was that? Like, it was almost like that took every ounce of the air out of our balloon to go out. Like,
right.
We were,
I would
fired
have started
up.
Laughing and said, that's enough. Yeah, let's
well,
go.
I like that song, but I don't know if that's the song to go
poor
out
timer.
To.
Garth Brooks has not, he doesn't have any song that should ever be played in a moment like that.
Like, but to pump you
like
up.
Like, to pump the boys up and to send a message and get you, yeah, just fired up and... You right. know, the coach had probably thought about it for days, and he's like, I'm going for it. I'm going with it, and I know it's going to inspire this crew. And then you guys just go out there and get rinsed.
We weren't a great team, but I will say, like, that was a tough one, because I look back on it, like, I don't
but
think...
Jamie, you know what it's like? You own that, and you live with it. Like, every time I saw that coach at a golf tournament, I'd go up to him and say, standing outside the fire.
Thanks for the help there. Thanks for the pep talk there, Gipper.
Yeah,
thanks for helping the boys out.
That was tough, too.
That one hurts. Like,
we got, I swear to God, it was 5-0 before we even blinked.
Yeah, that one, that's not good. That's not a good scene.